WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. After weeks of pressure from labor activists to release the data, health officials now say more than 300 cases of COVID-19 have been reported among workers at 7 local poultry plants. Governor Northam issues a statewide mask mandate for indoor public places. And Virginia will decriminalize possession of small amounts of pot on July 1st. But that may not help some offenders much. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 27. 317, that's the number of poultry plant workers in the Shenandoah Valley who have tested positive for the new coronavirus as of last Wednesday, May 20th. That number came from the director of the Central Shenandoah Health District in response to a request from labor activists for information. Health officials say the number of new cases at 7 local plants has declined over time, but they are closely monitoring the outbreak. The health district's email to activists did not identify how many cases are associated with individual plants. Activists have criticized the poultry industry, which employs thousands of workers in the valley, for a lack of transparency and for not fully protecting workers from the spread of the virus. Since the pandemic began, Harrisonburg has reported one of the highest concentrations of COVID-19 cases in the state. As of this morning, the Virginia Department of Health reports 742 confirmed cases in Harrisonburg with 21 deaths and an additional 478 cases in Rockingham County with 6 deaths from the disease reported there. Well, Governor Ralph Northam announced a statewide indoor mask mandate during Tuesday's press briefing. Yasmin Juma with partner station VPM reports.
Starting Friday, Virginians will be required to wear masks when entering businesses, but doing so outdoors remains voluntary for now. Governor Ralph Northam said the state will work to distribute masks to at-risk individuals. He added that health officials, not law enforcement, will oversee regulation of the mandate. How they'll do that remains in question.
I'm not looking for people to get in trouble by not wearing a mask, but I am looking for people to please do the right thing. I'm asking people to respect one another.
Northam said he'll work with lawmakers on a small civil penalty for violators during a pandemic-related special session. There's no set date yet, but it's expected to take place in the coming months. This mandate comes after the governor was criticized for not wearing a mask and standing in close proximity to people over Memorial Day weekend.
The Gloucester County School Board defended its transgender bathroom ban before a federal appeals court Tuesday. Lawyers for Gavin Grimm, a transgender man who was barred as a student from using the boys' bathrooms at his high school, argued before the 4th U.S. Circuit Court that the policy discriminated against Grimm and violated his constitutional rights. U.S. District Judge Arenda Wright Allen in Norfolk ruled in August that the board had discriminated against Grimm, writing, quote, "There is no question that the board's policy discriminates against transgender students on the basis of their gender nonconformity." The board appealed that ruling to the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond. David Corrigan, a lawyer for the school board, argues that the law protects against discrimination based on gender, but not gender identity. The three-judge panel that heard the case on Tuesday did not indicate when it would issue a ruling. The arguments were held remotely because of the pandemic. Making pharmaceuticals is a labor-intensive job. More than 70% of the medications that Americans take come from China and India, where labor costs are relatively low. But now, Virginia Commonwealth University is trying to bring that process home. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Houseman reports.
When President Trump started a trade war with China, some experts got nervous. That country has subsidized its pharmaceutical industry, and much of the world now depends on the Chinese, according to VCU professor Frank Upton.
There was a concern on the part of the government that the Chinese might hold our healthcare hostage as leverage against these tariffs.
Then the COVID pandemic hit, underscoring our vulnerability. At Virginia Commonwealth's Medicines for All Institute, Upton was ready. He had started a partnership with a private pharmaceutical firm called Flow and a consortium of 1,500 American hospitals to make all of the components of critical medications at a 300-acre site in Petersburg.
A manufacturing facility makes the starting materials, the active ingredient, and the formulated product in a single site.
Last week, they got a boost, a $354 million grant from the federal government to begin making medications in a whole new way.
a more continuous manufacturing platform, which is highly automated, and through the automation should significantly reduce the labor costs.
Gupton says the new facility will generate about 350 high-paying jobs while addressing a long-term public health emergency. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Finally today, Virginia is preparing to decriminalize possession of an ounce or less of marijuana starting July 1st. That means, for example, if the police find that amount on your person or in your car, you'll get a written citation and you'll have to pay a $25 fine rather than being charged with a crime. But some people may find not much has changed in the law and in their lives. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Even with decriminalization, the legal stakes of using pot remain much higher for some Virginia residents than others.
The way that they're treating it, they don't have a chance in the world. I'm lucky that I don't have any felonies, because if I did, they'd really be trying to fry me.
Christopher Jones is a cook at O'Neill's Grill in Harrisonburg. In 2017, he violated a protective order by getting into an altercation over the phone. That led to him having an 11-month suspended sentence hanging over his head and being put on supervised misdemeanor probation. He has to regularly visit a probation officer and, among other stipulations, pass urine screens for drugs, including marijuana. And the terms of his probation won't change with decriminalization. Instead, he's concerned that he could go to jail this summer for having tested positive for marijuana use earlier this year.
The money I'm making right now, I gotta save it because I'm possibly going to jail in July. I have two little children, man. I have to pay $500 a month. My baby mother's not working right now. If I go to jail, she, you know what I'm saying? She's struggling. But they don't care. They don't care. They don't ask you that. They just go to jail. Mm-hmm. Go to jail.
Smoking helps him cope with stress. Mind you, this is a substance that a doctor can prescribe you for a variety of medical conditions, including PTSD, in 33 states. Among other losses in recent years, Christopher's friend was shot and killed next to him in 2017, and Jones himself was shot twice that night. The trial for his friend's murder is ongoing.
So I was kind of upset because, well, this guy shot my friend and me right in front of the courthouse. Got hit twice in the leg and once in the shoulder. And my friend got hit dead center in the chest. 26 years old. So I got upset and I smoked.
Jones was cited, or formally violated, by his probation officer last year for testing positive for marijuana. He served 30 days in jail, and the terms of his probation were changed so that the next dirty screen would also count as a formal violation. That second positive screen happened in March.
I'd rather smoke marijuana than take a pill. I don't like aspirin. The grogginess from it just doesn't work for my body. Some of us don't take pills. Marijuana is medicine, man.
Jones thinks that if he could afford a lawyer, he might be able to avoid jail time. And multiple defense attorneys in Harrisonburg agreed that their clients usually don't get violations for testing positive once or twice. Aaron Burgeon is a defense attorney with Big Valley Law, which represents clients from Winchester to Buena Vista.
Unless it is a repeat, like a pattern of, during the course of a year, testing positive six times, I don't typically see a simple positive test for marijuana being the sole basis of a violation in the jurisdictions I practice.
Eugene Oliver is a defense attorney with the Evans Oliver Law Firm in Harrisonburg.
One of the things that is routinely ordered in our courts as a condition of probation, particularly felony probation, is that the individual not consume marijuana regardless of its legal status, and in that way it's similar to alcohol.
According to defense attorney Aaron Cook, most of the people who serve jail or prison sentences for marijuana do so because of probation violations rather than an initial marijuana-related charge. And probation officers are the ones who determine when violations are brought to the attention of the courts.
There's a lot of discretion in when a person gets brought back to court. So for example, they're on probation, and they violate it. They get a reckless driving ticket, or they get two reckless driving tickets, or they get two reckless driving tickets and they test positive for marijuana. You know, and as these things start to rack up, these relatively small offenses probably won't get you back in front of the court. But as these, at some point, the probation officer says, okay, now we're going back to court.
Burgeon thinks it's just a matter of time before Virginia reaches full legalization of marijuana, and decriminalization is a start.
It is definitely the first step. And I think there's been a wave, sort of a change in how marijuana is viewed, given that there's so many more deadly and dangerous drugs out there. There is no overdosing on marijuana, whereas you have fentanyl out there and you have all these other drugs that officers are armed with, Narcan. So those, obviously, is where the focus is now on the war on drugs.
Even if the General Assembly fully legalizes marijuana in the years to come, the legal consequences of smoking may not change for people like Christopher Jones, who find themselves in the probation system. Right now, while he's laid off due to the pandemic and awaiting his court date in July, he's just focused on saving unemployment checks to provide for his children in the event he is sent to jail.
Honestly, right where I'm at right now in life, because of all the turmoil and stupid shit I gotta go through, I'm basically just alive because I have kids. Just being able to see my two kids smile every day, man. Because they love me so much, man. It's ridiculous, man. You can't change that. Like, you can't take pure love from somebody.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Learn more about that story at WMRA.org and on the app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.